going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
It is our third show of the week. On Monday night, we had Thompson to Clark. Giants won again. They just beat the Brewers to take this series 3-1. So it's good news for the Giants and good news for Brad and I next Monday. And then last night, Rod and I did a 49ers first round draft preview, and we'll be back sometime this weekend, more than likely Sunday-ish, 5 p.m. around that time Pacific. And now our third show of the week, the death lineup. Brian is here. You know, Brian, we got some really cool feedback in a comment on our last show, which it was a little while ago because I was in Vegas at the end of the week last week, so we couldn't record on our normal day. But somebody had wrote in saying, you know, I'm so happy with the Valkyries coverage because like not a lot of Bay Area sports podcasts are actually actively covering the Valkyries. So we've had Sabrina Merchant on twice. We've had Michelle Smith on. So I think the people are appreciating it. And you're producing all this stuff. So good job by you. And it sounds like they're happy about that. And we'll keep doing it. And we'll figure out if we need to do a separate Valkyries podcast or if we just kind of use the middle of this show for our Valkyries chat.
Yeah, no, thanks for the comments. I didn't even see it. So that's great to hear. You know, both of us, we've put in the work, man. Like, I know we're still kind of new to this space. And I feel like we've respected the space and not tried to, like, step on the people that have already been doing it. Like, we want, you know, I feel like Sabrina is kind of like a perfect, like, get, like, she's like so respected and we respect her and we listen to her, you know, her shows
she's
and
just
stuff.
She's just really good.
Yeah. And Michelle is awesome as well. So hopefully we get to talk to more people and, you know, just continue to absorb, you know, and learn more stuff about it and continue to talk about it. It's been
and
fun.
When I listen to No Off Season and I hear her on the show, I can, because we've interviewed her, I can kind of hear her little verbal ticks and signals about like when she's going to say something and it's like, oh yeah. And I know, so it's because like we know her, so cool. But we'll talk about some Valkyrie stuff in a second. We got to talk about the playoffs. The Warriors won game one, which was Sunday night. And I was trying to, I was at a meetup for WrestleMania and I had my phone in the game, and then John Cena and Cody Rhodes are having a terrible match at the same time the Warriors are playing, and I'm trying to pay attention to both. But that game, I don't want to say it turned back the clock on basketball for, you know, for 20 years, but it was more reminiscent of like the playoff basketball that I grew up watching than the current playoff basketball that we have now. And then last night, it was sort of the same, but a little bit more of Houston being able to do some of the things they wanted offensively. Of course, Jimmy Butler is out. So the Warriors leave Houston split, which if you are the 7 team playing against a 2 team, that's what you want. But the Warriors are kind of favored to win this. So I don't know if it's necessarily the perfect scenario, but they still get to go to San Francisco tied at 1. But the Jimmy Butler injury lingers. Now, with Warriors fans, because the Warriors have been in the playoffs so often since 2015, there's a little bit of like an expectation of Steph Curry, and when Steph Curry gets to the playoffs, anything can happen. And I feel like maybe even more so than a lot of the other really strong franchises, the worry meter hits the Warriors fans more than most teams. So I wanted to, and maybe this is something that we do as long as the Warriors keep playing, but is there, if I was to say 1 to 10, where are you on the worry meter as far as the Warriors winning this series?
I think my worry meter is just like directly correlated with Jimmy Butler's status. And if it's good to go, like what the agent said today, where he said, pray for the bear. Is that the comment he made to Mark Spears?
Yeah, that was weird.
That guy was pretty, I feel like that guy was pretty involved during the Jimmy Butler trade talks too. Like, I don't know who this agent is, but I don't know who represents him, but I feel like I've heard from him a lot this year. But yeah, Warrior Meter is directly correlated with Jimmy Butler's status. I think it's clear right now that we didn't have a 100%, I don't know. I don't think Steph or Jimmy are like 100% right now in terms of just like health status. Steph had the finger thing. He has the butt thing. And then Jimmy had got like banged up before the season too. So I think, you know, we can at least expect that we're not going to have a 100% healthy Jimmy Butler at any point during this series anymore. I think we can predict that, but I still think a 75% and 80% Jimmy Butler, I feel good about the Warriors' chances. I think last night was a game where in the 2020, when they won the championship,
mm-hmm.
especially the following year when it was Kings and it was Lakers in those two rounds, I think there were just, you know, I think TK mentioned it on Warriors Plus Minus 2, where there's just going to be, they're like a strategic playoff team now, where it's not like they don't have the young players where it's like, we're just going to give it our 120% all every mm-hmm. single game. There were games in both the championship season as well as the following season where it's like, oh, they got blown out in like the first quarter and they right. are putting in all their subs by the third quarter. Or, they're just like resting Steph and they're just not even going to go for it. And they're just kind of punting the game away. And I thought that game two, if there were odds for what game that was going to be, I thought game two had the highest odds for the Rockets to come out swinging
right.
and the Warriors to do the, you know, I was kind of surprised Steph came back in the fourth quarter when he did. But it goes to show there was a chance. So I feel like I feel really good depending on Jimmy Butler's status, because last night was supposed to be that game and the Rockets offense is so underwhelming that mm-hmm. that didn't happen. And the Warriors made so many mistakes that were so pull your hair out frustrating, yet they were still only down 10 most of the time. So, you know, Jalen Green had his game. I thought that after the first game, he was most likely off of this team in the offseason. Game two, he has his game, although I feel like it was a lot of wide open shots. However, towards the end of the game, I was like, okay, he's actually kind of scoring right now. But oh my God, Buddy Hield on defense is the most atrocious stuff I've ever seen. Like, I was with a group last night and I was like, Buddy Hield defense or Jordan Poole post punch defense?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends were just saying, like you say, like, Buddy at least apparently is like trying, whereas Jake just like gave up. But I'm like, I don't know, at this point, I would wish he wasn't trying. It's that bad.
Okay, yeah, so what's the number? Is the number like 3 or 4?
I just directly correlated with Jimmy. After I see the pray for the bear thing, 8 or 9, right? But if you know, I don't know if you listened to Plus Minus already, but they were saying he flew back last night. The team stayed the night in Houston and was supposed to fly back this morning, but Jimmy flew back that night because they were saying, like, what, the medical facilities aren't like up to date at the Toyota Center, and Chase Center apparently has better medical facilities
also just trust it more.
Yeah, that's weird. That stuff's weird. But so we haven't heard back from that. I saw some reports, like the Brett Siegel guy from like Clutch Points or something was saying mm-hmm. that it's looking up, but I need to see an official status that, like, okay, Jimmy is gonna play, although maybe he's not 100%. Like, he's good enough to play, and right. I think I feel good about that. So maybe like a 7 until I hear that news.
Okay, I'm with you. I think if even if Jimmy misses one game, I think my worry meter is actually pretty low, and the reason is because of what you said, is that the Rockets just can't score points. Like, so you're always going to have a shot if you can get some shooters hot. Now, what I was also thinking about is at least my hope, and you want to put that good juju into the universe, that Jimmy's going to be okay. And even if he is 80%, you know, hopefully that they believe that if he plays, I'm sure they believe that it's just a dealing with pain kind of scenario, not like, he can get hurt even more. But what's the move? Like, what, you know, Steve Kerr and the Warriors historically have always been, you know, pretty intuitive when it comes to what is the move to change the series. You remember 2015, Andre starting, I think, and then they went really small. Like that was one of the moves. In other series, it was like, Bogut is actually guarding their worst shooter. And now you see that in all, like, Sengun is like guarding all of these different players who they don't think is going to attack the basket. So what is the move? Like, what do the Warriors have up their sleeve in case Jimmy doesn't play? Kalloon Johnston just chimed in and said, we need to play TJD. TJD, I think if it comes to the point of where you need fouls, I think he could probably give you a few good minutes, but it also seems that Kerr does not trust the TJD minutes. My thought was, if it's clear that Jonathan Kuminga is just, for whatever reason, not aggressive, or maybe they dial that in and he does come out aggressive, what stops them from playing Kevin Knox? Doesn't his length and his athleticism kind of bode well for someone who may deserve an opportunity? Because as much as we love Gi, this is not the right series for Gi, because everything just gets so closed on him. I thought, you know, even Moses Moody, I'm like, this dude's catching it in rhythm and he's hesitating, and the second he hesitates, the defense is already on him. Kevin Knox is like 6'9", so he's going to get a shot up if he wants it. It's more along the lines of, do they trust him to play big minutes in the playoffs? He's still a young man. He's only been in the league for like 6 years, but it feels like he's like your ultimate journeyman guy. I would like to see Kevin Knox get a few minutes if Jimmy cannot play in game three.
I think it's likely if that happens. If Jimmy doesn't play, I do think it's likely that Kevin Knox gets minutes. We even got like Braxton Key off the bench. I don't know how much his name Key, last name Key.
It's funny. I was just looking at their roster today. Yeah, Braxton, I was like, who's Key on this roster?
Braxton Key, when I was like following the Pistons, that 1 year, I think Braxton Key was like their two-way player. And so I got to watch him a bit. I think he was like defensive player of the year in the G League. But yeah, I mean, just wings who, oh man. I mean, it's just the Kuminga conversation, which is why we're having the Kevin Knox conversation is, yeah. JK went out there last night and I told the people I was with, and I think I even said on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, I was just like worried of it going down the road that it is exactly gone down of, yeah, like we're going into restricted free agency now and I feel like there's probably bad blood. It seems pretty likely he's not coming back. Like all that stuff went like in a crazy direction. But I told the people I was watching with last night, I was like, okay, right when Jimmy went down, I was like, Kuminga's going to play. The one thing that you hope does not happen is that he somehow lowers his trade value.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he somehow lowered his trade value. And he just went out there. And
the Warriors themselves have done a pretty good job of doing that.
They have. He just looked like he was just terrified of making mistakes and questioning all of his decision-making. And man, did everything go mostly wrong? Did not shoot well. The only thing I will say that was good about his game, the only thing I will say is he hit two threes. I don't know the last time he's hit two threes in a game. I bet we can even pull that information up. It's probably been a while, but that was the only thing I had good to say about him. So if he continues to, like, nothing's going to change from a practice perspective. Nothing's going to change from it's either he's going to play or he's not going to play. And if he plays, is he going to meet the moment? Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, I imagine it's a shorter leash, Kevin Knox. And this is all under the impression that Jimmy is not going to play.
I wonder if they skip Kuminga for Kevin Knox. That is kind of
entirely.
Well, it, you know, in the rotation, does Knox bump up in front of Kuminga? Maybe they both have to play if Jimmy's not there. But I wonder if you, because Kevin Knox better shooter, right?
I don't know.
At least Kevin Knox believes he's a better shooter than JK believes he's a shooter. At least that's what I see. He is not hesitating to put it up.
Mm-hmm.
As far as defensively, I mean, he didn't even really get to play enough for us to know, but he's long.
He's probably not point of attack, and neither is JK anymore, right? JK, that one foul against Van Vliet that looked just like Jalen Brunson, Luka Doncic-esque of just feeling him on his back, Chris Paul, and just shooting it. And that was, I think Nate Duncan was saying it. Like, it's just so crazy how much Kuminga has regressed from the point of attack.
Oh, and you
he
wonder why.
Good in his freshman year. I mean, not freshman, his rookie year. And like his second year too. Like, I remember possessions on Kyrie where I was like, this is not bad. So he's just completely shot from a point of attack perspective on defense. He just looks like he's not fluid, or it just looks all clunky.
What do you think about the two bigs that the Rockets play? And then it almost was like Kerr decided to play his two bigs, and all
it worked
that
in game one.
But all it did was allow them to get pick and roll in game two and shake free a little bit. But, you know, again, it was really only Green. I don't remember. Fred VanVleet made a couple shots, but nothing that I thought was backbreaking. I just worry that they're so, and some of this may just be Draymond, right? By the way, Draymond finished third for Defensive Player of the Year. Evan Mobley won, and I think Dyson Daniels came in second. So Draymond may be a little fired up coming into Saturday
That's
evening.
Hope. He's been kind of underwhelming. So,
but like, is it because, you know, are they trying different things? Because I guess, you know, 35 minutes of Draymond at center is probably, it's probably pretty damaging to his body.
Did you see what they started out with game two? They took Draymond off of Şengün as the primary assignment and put him back in the roamer position and said Jimmy was his primary assignment. Yeah. That was really interesting. I wanted to see how that was going to play out.
Yeah. By the way, what did you think of the Amen Thompson undercut?
It wasn't dirty. I think it was kind of goofy. You know,
I think it was a little bit reckless.
Reckless, yeah.
Not his fault. No. It was there was like a scrum and they were all kind of pushing on each other.
Yeah.
But what I do wonder is if the officials are actually going to call a tighter game in game three, because the worst case scenario is more injuries happen because of they're letting all of this stuff go. And you don't want to see anybody else get hurt. I mean, just the fact that one of the best players in the series is hurt is bad enough already. I wonder if they call a tighter whistle, or if they even before the game, they're like, you know, we can't be playing football. Like, this is, you know, the guys are just going to, you guys aren't going to last if they do. So, because if you do call a tighter game, Steph's at the free throw line, you know, every other trip down.
That's never going to happen. Like, Steph's, you know, like, it's never going to happen where Steph's at the free throw line for a lot. You know?
I mean,
so I wonder.
Double digits. He could get to five trips at the line.
I mean, we all agree that Steph's getting fouled like damn near every possession, but he's just, I think we as Warriors fans probably all understand that he's one of the worst floppers in the league as well. Like, he does not sell contact that well. One of my worries of last game was just like, okay, it was clear Jalen Green was able to take advantage of this opportunity to like kind of shake off the game one rust and get into the series. I actually don't expect that type of game from him. Of course, 38 points I'm not expecting from him again. Yeah. But game three, I kind of feel like he goes more back into his game one self and kind of is a little ineffective. The one thing I'm happy about in game two, Fred VanVleet didn't find it. He had a successful that finals in 2019 against the Warriors, and I was just worried that like this could just be a game that, you know, they had to try to win, but they shouldn't have had to. But, you know, Fred could have just put up some shots and got going. And that wasn't the case. So I think there's like three starting lineups that we should expect, which is kind of crazy. I'm thinking either Loon jumps in at the five and it's just awful offense. Like, they're just kind of betting on like more of like a defense leads the offense. Looney on Şengün, Draymond in the roamer, or they go Quentin Post starting, because he was starting to find his three-point shot in that game. It was it's been pretty rough for Quentin Post first game and then half of the way through the second game. But once he started hitting those threes, I was like, okay, thank God. Like, this is kind of what we saw more in the regular season from him. And then, so that's two. And then the third option is, of course, I think Kuminga in the Jimmy spot. I feel like that one might be the least likely right now, just given that they would have to put JK, like, or if they just go Draymond on Şengün again, which I feel like they don't want to do. I feel like they want someone else on Şengün, but are you putting Kuminga on Şengün? So I think those are the three potential starting lineups. I don't think GP should be in the mix for potential starting lineup. I don't think, of course, Kevin Knox, no Pat Spencer. I'm trying to think of like who else even on this team, but I think those are the three that I'm thinking of right now. Did you feel like there wasn't as much Moses Moody as there should have been? I was kind of watching game two, and I was like, where the hell is he?
I was wondering why he wasn't in there more. It was almost like maybe his actual lack of aggression caused him to sit. I don't know.
I think just based off of what we heard from the Clippers game, because there was, you know, how they closed that game before the play-in game. They closed in the fourth quarter with GP and Moses' spot. And then they went on to OT with GP and Moses' spot and did not sub back in Moses. And it really felt like they could use Moses. Steve Kerr kind of doghouse treatment him because there was that one loose ball that he didn't go after that the Clippers were able to retain. And it was like, I was actually watching. I was like, why the hell did he not go for that? That like made Steve Kerr sit him. I wonder if the hesitation from the three-point line, you know how he kept pump faking all that time and it was just like, dude, just put up the dang shot. I wonder if there was some kind of doghouse there as well. Like, it just felt like there were so many moments where it was like, why isn't Moses playing more? So I pulled up the stats just from the Warriors players in these two games from a totals perspective. If I pull it by points, Steph has 51 total points in these two games. Jimmy's in second with 28. Moses is in third with 19. It's crazy. Pods is in fourth with 14. And Draymond and Quentin Post are both tied for fifth at 12. So, I mean, I know Pods is probably our third best scorer out of players that play when it comes to Steph, Jimmy, Pods, then Moses. But I'm just
why do we think he was sick yesterday, by the way? Everyone says
food poisoning.
In
Houston?
How often have you ever gotten food poisoning in your life? Never, right?
A couple, but it's not uncommon. Like, I know some people very recently that had food poisoning and were just out for the entire day and a half.
And it had nothing to do with drinking alcohol, had nothing to do with going out. It was only just the food, some sort of bacteria, that undercooked food.
I swear it's a thing, man. Food poisoning is real.
I'm not saying that Pods was doing anything. I just find the food poisoning excuse to be the default excuse for all of these occasions. And it seems like probably not happening all of these occasions.
I wonder if at some point the Warriors are like, all right, we have team chefs. You can only eat from these team chefs. That'd be crazy. But you never, dude, I don't know.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So from this, I pulled up the advanced stats as well. You want to hear that for the teams?
Okay. Go for it.
If I feel this is among playoff teams from the two games, if I filter by offensive rating, I mean, I think this is pretty obvious what we're going to see here. Out of the 16 teams, Houston is 14th in offensive rating at 105.4. The Warriors are 15th in offensive rating at 102.2. And the Memphis Grizzlies are 16th at 85.6. Memphis should be disbanded as a franchise after what's been happening in these two games. If I filter by defensive rating, the Rockets are second at 102.2, and the Warriors are third at 105.4. What about net rating? They're probably in the middle of the pack then if they're top and bottom. And both the Warriors are 11th out of 16. The Rockets are 6th out of 16. But I still feel like this is not like a ring the bell podcast whatsoever, like ring the alarm. I think as Warriors fans, a lot of people should, it's just relying on Jimmy's status. I still, even crazily enough, I've said many times that I think this team without one of Steph or without Jimmy, like one of them's missing, I think they are at the level of the Pelicans because there's just so many role players that just don't have it or haven't shown that they could take the leap and fill the gap of a missing star player. They're just role players. But I still crazily enough just have not been that impressed with Houston that I think they could win it if Jimmy wasn't there. It would have to rely on Kuminga finding something, but or Pods finding something, but I just have been completely unimpressed with this Rockets team. So I don't know how you feel about that.
I think they have a lot of growing up to do, and I would hate for that to happen against the Warriors, who are the team that is kind of aging. It would be kind of poetic in a way, but I just don't want to see it happen. I think it's probably a year too early. They don't have enough offensive firepower to put really anybody away, and they would only be able to win these like slugfests, which is why I think if the referees do go like, hey guys, like we're going to have to call these games a little bit tighter because what's happening these first two games is kind of ridiculous. I think it just benefits the Warriors big time, especially if Butler can play, because he's just going to bait these guys into fouling him constantly. So, yes, I agree with you. I don't think that they're really good enough yet. And they really need someone. They need Jimmy, essentially. They need Jimmy. Like, that's who they need. Or KD, right?
They're the KD team. I've been saying it since. Yeah, they're the KD team. But, I mean, even pulling up our lineups here, I have everything. If I go by minutes, we're on totals. Of course, the starting lineup, 24 minutes, a minus two. And then Steph, Dre, GP2, Moses, and Quentin Post at 10 minutes, the second highest played lineup, minus three. And then it's just like, I bet you there were lineups yesterday that had never been tried before.
Yeah,
Pat Spencer ones. Yeah,
maybe we'll never see them again. It's funny because Pat Spencer was actually aggressive.
Yes.
And he was kind of playing like, well, what else am I going to do? Like, this is what I see. And the Rockets were just pretending like he wasn't even out there. And he's like, okay, I'm just going to come.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to the bucket. And he had a couple of kind of ridiculous looking shots, but
the bank then three.
Then he didn't play again. I was like, okay.
It's because Pods came back in the second half.
Yeah.
That's why.
I would have rather Pods not came back in the second
half. Yeah, me too.
He was hurting.
I mean, that's just the difference between Pat Spencer, a guy who's just like, I have nothing to lose, and Jonathan Kuminga, where, you know, both of them, because people would be like, well, he hasn't, you know, Kuminga hasn't, you know, he needs to shake off the rust. And it's like, okay, but then here's Pat Spencer, who has played like three games this year, who has maybe ultimate rust. And he's like, I have nothing to lose. I am going all, you know, to the wall. And, you know, Kuminga just, that was just so frustrating to watch, because as a viewer you could just see it. He's just so afraid to make a mistake, and he's just so uncertain with his decisions. And part of that's because of what this coaching staff has done to him, of like making him question those decisions. But it's just so crazy where year two and year three Kuminga were like net positive players. And I do blame Kerr a little bit for year two Kuminga you know, stepping up when Wiggins was with his family for that extended period of time. And then Kuminga gets one chance in Sacramento, and in that Sacramento series gets blocked by Alex Len at the rim and doesn't touch the court again against Sac or against the Lakers. Steph had to have the game seven speech partly targeted at Jonathan Kuminga. Like if I was Kuminga too, I kind of understand. And then the following year, again, he was pretty good. And then that Sacramento again, he actually scored some buckets, but I think he still got sat. Like it was that one playing game, but I'm just like, how it's just crazy how in year four, he's actually worse, but there was those moments this year where he was good too. So I don't know. It's just going to say that, like, it's relying on Jimmy coming back. If Jimmy doesn't come back, then it's kind of reliant on Kuminga stepping up. And if Kuminga doesn't step up, then they're cooked. But I think Jimmy's, by all accounts, it sounds like he's going to play.
All right. Kaloon also said Draymond needs to stop shooting. Well, he's being left 10 feet wide open. And Post needs to realize he's 7 foot and get the rebound.
I agree with that. Post was getting out-rebounded badly.
He looks to box. Like, he definitely kind of looks to box. But then he doesn't have any explosiveness to get to the board. It just kind of...
Oh, my God. Yeah, did you see that dunk that he tried to do against Jabari Smith? It was the most, like... I have zero athleticism in my bag, and let me try to do this.
Jabari had some go-go gadget arms that actually got to the basketball before Post could even get it up. It was like he was still trying to gather, and he just sniped that ball out of there.
Atrocious.
Hey, man, he's in there to shoot threes. Like, that's literally all he's in there to do.
I'm just glad he found that. 4 for 10.
Yeah, it was nice to see him find that stroke at the end, for sure.
Wait, was he 4 for 10?
All right, let's
Oh, I'm really quick.
I don't think he made any in game one.
Yeah, I think you're right. He was 4 for 8 last night, 4 for 10 on the series. So Buddy Hield 1 for 3 from three, Steph 4 for 9 from three, Moses 3 for 6, Draymond 2 for 6, Pods 0 for 2. Pods was a 0 across the board, but I kind of understand it. Kuminga 2 for 5. And on the Rocket side, the guys who were a plus, Tari Eason was a minus. The highest plus, Şengün. Jalen Green was second on the highest plus, tied with Fred VanVleet. Trying to see if there's anything else that sticks out here. Not really. Jalen was 8 for 18 from 3. I can't believe he took 18 three-pointers. Tari 2 for 2 from 3. I feel like that probably won't happen again.
Mm-hmm. They were corners, just corner threes, wide open.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, just that defense on... I know I'm poking at Buddy Hield. It's just frustrating because it felt like they were... He's in there for offense, and, you know, because of him, you probably get better looks on offense because they have to worry about Buddy from the three. Steph hits a couple good threes. We go on the other end, and if you just, like, watch Buddy Hield on defense, there's a screen that happens.
He knows, like, it's coming, too. He's probably... In the amount of time played, he's probably got screened maybe the most out of his minutes played. Like, he's up there. So he should be very comfortable in this predicament, but it looks like he's always looking down. He's always looking around. He's always trying to get around. Like, he's just not comfortable in that space.
But my thing is, though, like, okay, so for some reason, you know, they took you off of the ball handler, put you on the roller. And then he just, like, kind of stays at the free throw line. He's like, maybe I don't go, you know, guard the guy who rolled. I'm just going to kind of shade the ball handle. And I'm just, like, kind of weird, like, watching how he processes on defense. It's like, okay, I just gave up the roller. Or if he's on the ball handler, it's just, like, off of a screen. It's just, he's just, you know, so confused and just, it looks terrible. But if you watch him on defense and he's involved in some type of action, he just sometimes doesn't follow the regular steps of what you're supposed to do on defense, where it's like, okay, I got the roller now. He just, like, kind of sticks around even after his own teammates switched on to who he was guarding. He just kind of sticks around there. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on.
And then Jimmy doesn't want him to dribble anymore. He was the one who wanted to fight Ime yesterday too. I thought he was going to try and, you know, kind of get next to him a little bit.
He's literally there for shooting and locker room vibes. And so that's all, you know, be that as it may.
All right, let's talk some Valkyries really quickly.
Valks Valley.
All right.
You know, I was thinking about this. We have Shams for all of the NBA news. I have him literally, like, one of my main reasons for Twitter is to get my Shams notifications right. Yep. Adam Schefter for the NFL. There's some pretty good baseball ones too. Some baseball guys. Who's the news gatherer for the WNBA? Like, I don't think there is one. Maybe it's Shams.
Who? Shams has done a couple news breaking ones, but I think it's Alexa Philippou something. Alexa, it starts her last name with like a PH L, mm-hmm. maybe.
I think I follow her.
She is ESPN's reporter. She's like supposed to like I think she's the insider, or maybe she's just an analyst. I don't know. I think there's like a Rachel Galligan that either works for Bleacher Report or this company called Winsider. I forget which she. I think those might be the two. None of our athletic people. Too. None of our athletic people do any news breaking stuff. Like Sabrina's just completely off of Twitter/X, anyways. Yeah. So
you don't need one. There's whomever's going to do that. Whoever's going to be that would be a good follow because I'm looking for it. I'm like. I just know what's going on. I can't, it's hard for me to find information.
I'm just happy that that wasn't there for the draft. I was not getting my news spoiled, but maybe I think I muted Shams. I forget I don't even know if he did anything, but yeah.
All right. I had a list of dates because kind of trying to figure out like, when does all this stuff start? What's the rhythm of this preseason to the regular season? So I do have some dates, and I know one of them has to do with something that you're looking at, which is the preseason roster. But April 27th, which is early next week. Wait, what?
Sunday.
Sunday is when training camp starts for the entire league. May 2nd is when the preseason games start. May 16th is when the season starts, and that's Sparks versus Valkyries. Game one. So your very first Golden State Valkyries game is on May 16th.
Mm-hmm.
June 1 is the beginning of the Commissioner's Cup. July 1 is the Commissioner's Cup Championship. The July 17th is the All-Star break through the 21st, and the All-Star game, which will be in Indiana, is on the 19th. August 20th is the trade deadline. September 11th, regular season ends. September 14th, the playoffs start. And finals were, they're around mid-October when they will be done. So they do
You might have missed the most important date.
What's the most important one?
Specifically for the Valkyries.
Which is?
Eurobasket. The thing that half of our team is going to leave for. It's from June 18th to June 29th. But I think... you're allowed to leave at least one or two weeks early to go prepare. So
that's like 3 weeks of missing half their team. Yeah.
And I think they have to report back within 48 hours of their team losing or winning. They're getting kicked out, being done. So,
all right. So what is the roster stuff like for the preseason?
So they have 19 right now and they need to get down. Technically they have 21, but we talked to Sabrina and Ileana Ruper. Ryan Ruper on the Portland Trailblazers' sister. She's a Valkyrie. She will not be reporting because she is going to use this time to prepare for Eurobasket with France, which is interesting because, we have French player Tijan Salon, sister from the Charlotte Hornets. She is, I think, a high-minute player for that country because I was watching her in Eurobasket qualifiers and she was starting, but I know not all of the best players were maybe there or starting because you have Gabby Williams and Marine Johannes, who's, I think, their best two. And then you have Janelle and a few others. So she's coming, is the point, but Ileana's not. So that's we're at 21. Ileana's for sure not coming. So that's 20. I believe it's Maria Conde, whoever we talked about with Sabrina. Mm-hmm. She's not coming. She tore her either meniscus, Achilles, or ACL. I forget. She's out for the year. So now we're at 19. We're at 19 because they just signed a player, another French player, Migna Touré. I don't know. I could be pronouncing this name completely wrong, but they signed another French player, which brought them to 19. So they need to get down to 18, which. We still haven't heard what's going on with Eustay.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, because she has made a quote that she's going to prioritize Eurobasket in Lithuania. Mm-hmm. So she's for sure going to miss time during Eurobasket. But my thought is she's going to follow in the Ileana Rupert footsteps and not come over until it's done. Or is she going to come over just like Janelle Salon and all the other French players that we have, and then go once it's time? So that's up to be. But I'm just like, even then, from, I mean, 18 or 19, we still got to get down to 12 eventually. Right. And I'm wondering, should we even, like, I know we don't know too much about the players, but like, I know a decent amount.
What's going to happen is you're going to fall in love with some of these players. Then they're just going to get cut for the season even starts.
I just really hope Yuste comes over, and that at the very least, Yuste, Cheyenne Sellers, Carly, Kayla Thornton's making this team. So that's, let's just start. Yeah. Okay. Kayla Thornton's for sure making this team. That's one. Janelle Salon's making this team. That's two. Temi Fekbenle's making this team. That's three. Tiffany Hayes, of course, four. Kate Martin, of course, five. Monique Billings, I'd be confident, six. You stay if she comes, seven. Julie Van Loo, eight.
They couldn't have drafted her at five if they didn't think she was coming. So they have to believe that she's coming, right?
I mean, the thing is, I truly believe Yuste is going to play this year. It's just the question, is she coming before or after Eurobasket?
Right, okay.
So I think that's the question. I don't know. I know I did the exercise in my head, and I'm like, shoot, there's a couple players where I'm like, are you going to make this team?
Okay,
and Veronica Burton's one of them.
Now let's talk about the point guard from UConn. How badly do we want her to stick around?
And I don't think she's
probably not gonna happen.
What was Sabrina saying? Hopefully, you know, she might stick around. She might stick around in case when all those players go to Eurobasket.
Right. I don't know how the contracts work, but maybe they have like their own like practice roster or something.
Yeah. Still looking at this roster, but I don't think Caitlin Chen is making this initial roster. And if she does, I would be very surprised, because that means someone is out of the 12 I had in my head is not going to make it.
And they could always make trades, right? They could always trade for future picks or whatever. So, you could open up room in that way. So we'll wait and see. But training camp starts very soon. So there will be more news about the Valkyries. I'm just like, where are we going to find this information? Which was part of my question to Sabrina, like, who's going to cover this team?
Yeah, I think Marissa and Jemmy, I've reached out to her to be on this podcast. I wasn't going to say it when we recorded last time, but I've reached out to her before, and hopefully we can eventually, I'll have to follow up. But
who is that?
SF Chronicle.
Oh, right. Yes, because she's
the only person that's going to be traveling.
Maybe, is she on Twitter?
I think she also made the Blue Sky move.
Okay, so I have to follow her in Blue Sky then.
Yeah. She'll provide intel. I think she's covering that NWSL for Bay FC as well. So she might have split duties right now. I don't know if she's going to have split duties when she got to travel with the team full time, but I know she covers kind of like just like women's sports in general for the Chronicle. Like, and she was covering Stanford and Berkeley during the season.
Hot tip, if you don't have a subscription to the Chronicle, Apple News is how I read the Chronicle, because they are in Apple News. I don't even know how much I pay for Apple News, but that's how I read the Chronicle and other subscription-based newspapers. All right, let's look at the first round of the playoffs. We weren't able to make our predictions on the last show, so let's quickly do that before we get out of here. All right. I think the Thunder and Grizzlies might as well already be over. We don't have to worry about that. But I'm really interested in who you think is going to win, the Nuggets or the Clippers. There's been two games, and I think I've been more impressed with the Clippers in those two games.
Me too.
And I'm a little worried about Jokic. He did not play great in that second game, but he can always play well. But I thought the Nuggets would have had to win both of those games on their home court for me to feel really comfortable with them winning the series.
And they didn't win that first game comfortably at all. A lot of Clippers self-inflicted kind of errors with Kawhi just like getting it poked out by, was it Russ that poked it out? And then it was still off of Kawhi, or it was just, or it was Jamal that poked it out. But that was just some really weird errors. And then, of course, like the offensive rebounding, the second chance stuff that Aaron Gordon was helping with, seems like they fixed. I think the Clippers are going to win this. I think it's been the best series just because it's been close games. But
yep.
I think the Clippers are going to win this. And I also, as I think as a Warriors fan, I think that's what you'd want. I think the Clippers would give OKC a better competition than Denver would. I think OKC, I don't know the stats this year, but I remember last year that OKC just always had Denver's number. So I think that's what we'd want as a Warriors fan. If you're a Warriors fan, you probably want Clippers versus OKC because the Clippers can give OKC a good run for their money. And then you just want that Lakers Minnesota series to go to seven.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Lakers Minnesota?
I think it might go to seven.
I think the Lakers are going to win, but Minnesota gives me hope as a Lakers hater.
Yeah.
That they have a shot just because the matchups are pretty solid in their favor in some instances, but Naz Reid has to play well.
Mm-hmm. McDaniels.
Gobert is such a zero these days. But and Ant-Man, right? Ant-Man's got to play out of his mind, and they could win, but I kind of just lean towards Luka and LeBron figuring it out by the end of the series.
They're closers. They know what to do at the end of games. Like, Ant still feels like he hasn't. I feel like that was the critique on Minnesota. I remember that Minnesota-Memphis series where Memphis won and then went to go play the Warriors, but that Minnesota-Memphis series was just drunk skitball. It was just like so many dumb decisions down the stretch that like younger teams make. And I feel like I saw that a little bit of that for game two down the stretch. Anthony Edwards, I think LeBron is one of the best game managers in the league. And he's also one of the best of noticing when a team is about to potentially make a big play or go on a run. And he's just able to make a play that stops, that takes the hope out of you. Mm-hmm. And he did that when Anthony Edwards, like, I think Naz Reid got a steal, kicks it to Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards going down at the speed of light down the court, and LeBron just gets a quick steal, dunk, felt like it was over. So
the West is dead. I think the whole, like, the storyline for the West to me is who can wear down Oklahoma City, because they obviously they haven't proven that they can make it out alive yet. But if you have these series like the Grizzlies, where they're not even breaking a sweat, they're not even getting challenged. And if you're right about the Clippers, then maybe that is the series where, man, you see really what the Thunder are made of. And then, you know, Western Conference Finals, whether it's the Lakers or the Warriors or the Timberwolves, that seems like not as hard of a series as the Clippers would be for them.
I agree.
All right, so I think, you know, the Heat played fairly well in game two, but Cavs are still up 2-0. I would imagine they probably sweep that series. Pacers and Bucks, the Pacers are up 2-0, and we'll see if the Bucks can hold court at home. What do you think? I haven't really watched the NBA TV stuff, so I don't really have a thought on the Pacers and Bucks, but have you watched any of that stuff?
Does Kuminga, Pajemski, Jimmy Butler, and four first-round picks get it done?
For Giannis?
I picked the Bucks to win, but it seems like they're just getting punked. Like,
yeah.
So that's like the one series that I've predicted that I think I'm just wrong about.
You know, the thing that sucks about the East is that like, you know how in the West we were talking about how, oh gosh, you know, this play-in thing is so silly because you have all these really bad teams, the Grizzlies being the eighth seed, whether it was them or the Kings, like, who really cares? They're not even anywhere near to like the close to the Thunder. In the East, you could say the same thing about, like, you know, the 7 and the 8 teams. Like, it's even worse, I think. Well, maybe not worse than Thunder.
In terms of a record perspective, yes, but
like the Celtics and the Magic, like, the Celtics are like, we don't need Jason Tatum. Like,
yeah, that was crazy. The Magic should be ashamed of themselves, but at least for Miami, they're kind of they made it a game. It was close in the fourth.
Yeah.
But yeah, from a record perspective, it's atrocious that the Miami Heat made the playoffs, right? Like, I think what Memphis might have been like a 4 seed on the East. Yeah.
Is it bad that I want the Pistons so badly to beat the Knicks?
I don't think it's bad at all. The Pistons are a fun team, man. They're down three right now in the third with 6 minutes left. They're at home. Pistons are at home. It would be such a nightmare situation for the Knicks if they lose in the first round after putting that much draft capital into Mikal Bridges,
mm-hmm.
getting the cat trade done,
yep.
and you lose in the first round. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick the Pistons just because I just want to see it so badly.
I picked it, too. I could tell you what I picked. I think I picked OKC in five. I picked mm-hmm. Minnesota in seven. I picked the Clippers in six. I picked the Warriors in six. I picked the Bucks in seven. I picked the Bucks in six. I picked Cleveland in five. I picked Boston in four. And I picked, what's the last year? Oh, Pistons. I think I picked the Pistons in seven.
Pistons and Boston is not going to be a good series, but it will be a good series for the Pistons to kind of learn what it takes to win in the league. I think it'd be really good for them to get there.
Yeah, and I think they'll have. I don't know why I remember this last year, but I remember last year that they had some games against Boston that actually went down to the wire, and then of course they just couldn't close it out because they were a young team. I imagine we'll see some of that stuff. Yeah.
All right, that is it. We'll sort of figure out the rhythm. So just to give you an idea of Warriors, the rest of the Warriors' playoff schedule. So they play Saturday. Their first home game in the playoffs is Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And then Monday will be the next game at home. And then game five will be, it's Monday night, 7 p.m. Game five will be a 4:30 start. So really early for Wednesday. Next Wednesday will be game five. And then if need be. Game six Friday, game seven Sunday. So
I think the broadcast was right when they said that this is the last game 2-3 is the last time that they're going to have 2 days of rest. Mm-hmm. Every game after that is every other day.
Right.
What a perfect, like if Jimmy Butler, I mean, I wish Jimmy Butler didn't go down, but if there was a time to go down and have a potential of returning, it's when you have these 2 days of rest versus this every other day stuff.
So the way the schedule breaks down, we can probably be back on Thursday again. So just dependent on what happens, and hopefully good things happen. And then hopefully we'll have some more Valkyries news because the training camp's starting. So, all right, that is it from here. So for Brian, I'm Double G. No, haha, I almost forgot. I need your 90-second Sinners review.
I think it was the greatest movie I've seen in the past 2 years since I've been like going to the theater very often. It's that. It's like Anora. Like those are like, I don't know. I got to see it in the 70mm IMAX mm-hmm. Metreon where only like there's like, what, 15 of these in the United States. And I'm just so lucky that I could walk to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was awesome. I forget what it's called. It's called like aspect ratio or like, you know, just the different, the size they have for the screen, if they utilize the full thing, if they have borders or something. Forget the actually, I know for like when I'm doing photos and stuff, it's like the dimensions or like mm-hmm. the ratio, but it was really cool how Coogler was like switching between them. I don't know if that was it for your screening. I think it might have been because that was IMAX that you're able to see that more definitively, but I couldn't figure out the theme for what moments you would use more of a widescreen versus what moments you would utilize the full IMAX screen.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, man, I thought everything, like, you go down the list of, like, cinematography, boom, like, performances from your actors and your actresses, boom, the directing, awesome, the script, awesome. Like, as much as I continue to learn about movies, I just feel like this hit all my taste check marks.
Mm-hmm. I hope to see it this weekend, and I'm going to search to see if I can see it in IMAX. That's what I want to do.
I know you have IMAX screens near you.
Yeah, there's one in the local Sunnyvale theater, but
you just don't got that 70mm though.
No, it's not that crazy one. But yeah, so I'm probably going to see it probably Sunday before. Actually, we don't really have anything going on Sunday, but yeah, I'll probably
watch it Sunday. I'm trying to do the, I know you said 90 seconds, I'll make this 20 seconds. And the Ringer's doing their like top 25 movies of the 20. Mm-hmm. Of this century, and I watched a Michael Clayton that came in at number 25, George Clooney.
I wanted to watch all of those, but you know what the problem is? I'm trying to do all the I'm trying to do all the rewatchables, and I'm trying to do all of the Shea Serrano good movie.
Oh yeah, that's too much, man.
I'm constantly watching all of these old movies and spending $4 just to rewatch them. So
last thing is that the San Francisco International Film Festival kicked off last Wednesday, and I went to opening night. It was really cool. When it comes to film festivals, like respectfully, if it was like a baseball, you know, triple A, double A, it's probably like high A or double A in terms of film festivals. You know, you got Cannes, Sundance, and Telluride up there. But this, it's been really cool so far. It's the International Film Festival, so there's an emphasis on films across the world. And so I've seen four now, and there's a movie called Idiotka. I think that's how you pronounce it. It was crazy because the director looked like a woman who was 2 or 3 years older than me. And there was a Q&A after a guy with the dude who did The Last Black Man in San Francisco, an A24 film. He was like the moderator, and then the director and her producer, and they were like college buddies, were answering the questions. And that was probably my favorite one so far. Kind of like a Nora had like that Russian, you know, comedy with like mainly English, but had the Russian stuff. That it's kind of like that, but completely different. Like, you know, like a poor family or the low income family from like West Hollywood that they're trying to make some money. I don't want to go too much into that one, but if that one comes out in the theaters, I would recommend everyone to see it. I just don't know how these movies are going to do with, or if they're going to come out in theaters. You know, I don't even know how that's going to work, because these are all like, I feel like kind of no one's heard of these types of things. So I don't know.
All righty. We'll be back next week, hopefully with the Warriors in good spot, and maybe with some Valkyries early preseason news. Are you going to try and go to a Valkyries? Are they, I'm assuming they have at least one preseason game at home before season starts.
I think they play, JD's going. It's the, is that the date you mentioned? May 1st or something, or May 6th?
I think May 2nd is the start.
Whatever, they play the Sparks again for their first preseason game. That's at home.
That might be, I imagine just because it's the very first preseason game, tickets are probably a little higher. Yeah. But there's got to be some games where the tickets aren't that crazy.
Give us Phoenix. I know Phoenix is the one I'm looking at because they're probably the best team out of the low ticket price teams. Mm-hmm. Like, they feel like they would still be an easy ticket, but... Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to get to one early. I want to get to one early so we can talk about it.
I mean, I'm going to be checking my ticket apps the day of the first game to try and get in there for, you know, a decent price.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be interested too. What, this is the 16th. Is that a weekend, or is that a,
I want to say their very first game is, now I might be messing up the preseason. I know one of those preseason or the first regular season game is a Friday. It's one of those two.
The 16th is a Friday. So, all right.
Okay.
Cool. All right. We'll be back next week for Brian WGC when we see you. Peace out.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.